This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alrighty. Bismillah walhamdulillah. As-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Everybody, how we doing? Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. You guys have that winter break glow to you right now. You guys are, MashaAllah, the glow up is serious from the beginning of the fall semester. Okay, alhamdulillah. There's also, I'm going to rename Soul Food the Sisters Halaqa. Just because, mashallah, there just is a beautiful, amazing 80-20 percentage that we're working with here. The ratio is strong. So, alhamdulillah. So, we are going to be finishing our study of the text, the series of letters of Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, towards his son, towards his student, that is called Ayyuhal Walad, dear beloved son. He used to call his student his beloved son. And alhamdulillah, last week we began this conversation because Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he actually began this final chapter in his book, in this series of letters, with the chapter of dua, right? The importance of dua. And we were talking a little bit last week about the importance of dua, particularly in the circumstance that we're in right now, in terms of the end of the year, right? This is a retrospective time of the year. People are thinking, you know, internally about what have I done in this past 365 days? What have I done with the past 12 months of my life? And so dua is something, you know, subhanAllah, that, you know, I defined last week for everybody, which is a humble call to the Creator, right? Dua is not a, it's not a request. Dua is not an order that we give. It's not a stipulation that we make. Dua is a humble call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a place of desperate need, right? And so Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he begins this final chapter by listing a few of the du'as that he wanted his student to be very, very familiar with, because these du'as were du'as of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the best of du'as were the du'as that were made by the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, right? That they were so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So du'a can be made in your own unique way, but at the same time, the du'as of the Anbiya that came before were also something that were looked at as higher level, higher quality. Why? Just because of the closeness that they had to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to combine our du'as with the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, you can understand that it actually adds a level of sweetness to the du'as that we make, okay? So Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, we went through last week the first du'a that he mentioned to his students, right? Oh Allah, I beg you in regard to your grace, ni'mah tamamaha, in its totality, in regard to protection, in its permanent state, in regard to mercy in its totality, in regard to well-being and the attainment of it, in regard to livelihood for its most plentiful nature, in regard to life for its most happy, in regard to beneficence for the most perfect, in regard to favor for the most inclusive of it, and in regard to generosity for the sweetest of it, and in regard to gentleness for the most intimate of it. Okay, أَقْرَبَهُ, Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he says in this dua, right? In regards to the gentleness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its closest state, okay? So alhamdulillah, we have my dear beloved friend and teacher, alhamdulillah, Qari Noman, who's going to be, inshallah, joining us for our khatam, for our final session of Soul Food here tonight. And we're going to be sharing a little bit of time together, reflecting through the final three du'as that Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, taught his students. So inshallah, Qari Sahib, he's going to share the second of the four. And then inshallah, I'll share the third. And then he's going to finish us off with the khatam, inshallah. And by the way, he'll go through the reflections line by line. But pay attention to each letter, each word, and how it impacts you as a person. right? Don't think of dua as this kind of like template that was set by somebody before me and has no personality to me. No, no, no. When we go through the words, oh Allah, I beg you for your grace and your ni'mah, tamamaha, think about what it means for Allah's blessing upon you in its totality. When has a blessing been given to you in totality? Think about that time in your life where that was true for you. This is the best way to connect with du'as in the first place. So inshallah, Sheikh Saab, I want to let you take it away inshallah. And the du'a will be on the screen as you reflect inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. It's always a pleasure to spend some time here at Roots with our friend and colleague, Ustad Safi, and all of you, mashallah. You know, as Ustad Safi was sharing this beautiful reflection on dua and how Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, is sharing with his student not to forget him in his prayers. Like, you think about a teacher telling his student, please remember me in your du'as. Even in that moment of being in a position of authority as a teacher, as an instructor, as a scholar, reflecting over the fact that sometimes and a lot of times the student may excel the teacher in excellence. The student may excel the teacher in spirituality. The student may excel the teacher in knowledge and in practice. And, you know, when we ask people for dua, we ask from a place of humility and sincerity. Because the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that one way of having your du'as accepted is by making du'a for each other. So when I make du'a for you, it's more likely that my du'a will be accepted as well. And when you make du'a for me, it's more likely that your du'a will be accepted as well. So keeping that in mind, Imam Ghazali is asking his student, to whom he just wrote this entire letter to, please don't forget me in your du'as, because I am in need of your prayers. But he also then highlights these du'as that are from the beautiful tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. However, I want to point out that these specific du'as that we're covering are not the literal words of the Prophet ﷺ. And by this, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he's teaching us that learn to make dua in your own way, taking from the spirit of the dua of the prophets. Because everything we're going to cover is actually going to be related to some type of dua that the Prophet ﷺ himself made. But he's using very unique wording for us to realize that our duas at times have to be unique. We need to speak in a language that we understand. Sometimes we need to ask in a way that is most effective and impactful for us. So as we complete this text and know that the completion of any text is a gathering of barakah and blessedness. Actually, many of the scholars of the past and even today will literally do readings of books like Ayyuhal Walad and give ijazah to students. So their blessed text and the fact that we've been able to go through it together is absolutely an amazing honor. And I want everybody to recognize this. I don't want this to feel like it was just another session that we did, another series that we covered. We went through one of the accepted texts by one of the greatest scholars of our tradition, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. So we make this khatam and we reflect over these du'as. You know, as we were thinking about this session, I was telling Ustad Safi that at the end of any deed that we perform, we are taught by the Prophet ﷺ to conclude with du'a, right? A du'a umukh al-ibadah. The Prophet says du'a is the essence of worship. So truly the essence of all of what we're doing is to connect and engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a deeper level. And that happens often in dua. Why? Because in dua, you're humbling yourself to Allah and really putting forth your vulnerabilities and saying, oh Allah, like I need you. And oh Allah, I am broken. And oh Allah, I am struggling. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us that at the end of the prayer, what do we do? So what is the one dua that we make immediately after the salah? He would start off by saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Seeking forgiveness after any deed. Oh Allah, I didn't do it the way that I should have done it. Oh Allah, I came to these sessions for, you know, to hang out. I learned something along the way, but maybe I could have been more attentive. Maybe I could have been more consistent. Maybe I could have been here more regularly. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness for that which I left out, for that which, in those moments of negligence while I was sitting in the gathering of your remembrance. And then the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that at the end of any deed, to make a dua towards Allah. And that's why Imam Ghazali actually points this out so beautifully. We're ending the year off. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of thinking about, you know, what we've done and what we haven't done. And also thinking about how do we close this year off in the most beautiful way. Because the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that actions are judged by their ending. A lot of times we build our year out from January to December. That's how we look at it for a lot of us. Well, a lot of y'all probably do it off based off of the academic year, right? When you start school, when you end school. But a lot of us, we set our goals based off of the end of the calendar year. And here we are, Allah, coming close to the end. We ask you to allow us to end with ease and allow the upcoming days to be better than the previous months. I was telling the students at the seminary that as they all go home for their winter break now, to come back with a sense of renewed intention and focus. And even if the first half of the year was gone in negligence and maybe slacking off, or maybe even being insincere in why you're here, allow the second quarter to be stronger. Why? Because deeds are always judged by their ending. So if I spent the last 11 months in negligence, if I can just spend the last 10 days in connection, those last 11 months will be a wipe for us. So Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, he starts off, or as Imam Safi, Ustad Safi started the beginning of the dua, the second part of the dua, he says, Allahumma kun lana wa la takun alayna, which is such a powerful dua to make. Oh Allah, be on our side. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us. Oh Allah, don't be against us. Because when you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your side, when Allah is with you, then you have everything that you need. And in this era of life, and in this year that we've been experiencing of so much atrocity and so many challenges and so many difficulties, what are we reminded? Allahu Mawlana. Allahu Mawlana. Right? What was the statement that the people of Gaza made over and over again every time they were faced with a challenge and difficulty? It was a statement said by the prophets of the past. It was a statement said by Ibrahim when he was thrown into the fire. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is enough for us. Why? Because if Allah is on our side, no matter what happens apparently to us, we always have victory. We always have blessing. There's always going to be success at the end. So, oh Allah, be with us and not against us. Why? Because if Allah is on the other side, or if we choose a side on which Allah is not there present, then what have we done? Essentially, we've now waged a war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I don't need you. Oh Allah, I'm not in need of you, and I don't necessarily need you on my side. I can deal with this on my own. What did the son of Nuh alayhi salam say to his father? What was that, like, that conversation that they had? Nuh alayhi salam is saying, come onto the ship, come onto the boat, and you'll be protected. Be on the side of Allah, and you'll be taken care of. Even though you don't get it completely, even if you don't completely understand what I'm preaching and what I'm saying and essentially what I'm inviting towards, just get on the ship. Just get on the side of Allah. We'll figure it out. And he says, it's all good. I figured it out. I know what I need to do. I'll go on this mountain and this mountain will take care of me. I don't need God to show me and guide me. I don't need the Quran or the Sunnah to tell me what it means to be moral or immoral. I don't need that because I've figured it all out myself because, you know, I'm him, as the young people say. My kids taught me that, by the way. I have kids like, you know, he's him. I'm like, what are you saying? Whoa. Anyway, sorry. Kids, alhamdulillah. So he says, Allahumma kun alayna wala kun lana wala takun alayna. And then when you look at the beautiful like tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you find these very powerful du'as where he's literally asking Allah, wa khudh bi nawasina il birri wa taqwa. Oh Allah, I need you to grab me by my forelock and I need you to force me into submission. The Prophet would make this du'a, oh Allah, force me into submission, because if you leave me, right, for even a moment, oh Allah, right, even if you left me for a moment, the destruction that I would cause would be unimaginable. So that's how he starts this part of the dua. And then he says, Allahumma akhtim bis-sa'adati ajalana. He said, oh Allah, allow us to conclude our lives with happiness. Allow us to be in a state of peace and contentment when we leave this world. Right? How do we end? How do we experience a beautiful ending? How do we experience an ending of happiness? You know, just a couple of months ago, my grandfather passed away. May Allah have mercy on his soul. He was 87 years old. And when he passed away, it was an extremely beautiful sight. And you're wondering, how can death be beautiful? But death is actually beautiful. When you live a beautiful life, your death can be extremely inspiring and beautiful. We were all in the hospital, all of his children, his 32 grandchildren, and his 27 great-grandchildren, all at the hospital, all together in one room, and all of us were just reading dhikr and making and reciting the final kalima. And in those moments of the entire room just making dua, he peacefully passed away without anyone realizing that he had passed away. So then you think about, how is it possible for me to have a beautiful death where I can leave with everyone on my side sad about my departure while I am happy to be reunited with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How does that happen? Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that. He says that كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ. The way you live is the way you die, and the way you die is the way you will be resurrected. Live a beautiful life, and Allah will give you a beautiful death. And if Allah gives you a beautiful death, know for sure that you will have a beautiful resurrection. It comes down to living beautifully. You can't expect to have a happy ending. You can't expect to have a beautiful demise and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of peace and comfort if you're not living your life in accordance to that idea or that thought. So Imam Ghazali, he says, oh Allah, conclude our lives with happiness and allow it to be, you know, and one of the du'as very... Safi, I'm sorry, I just keep going.
Please, I'm enjoying it.
You know, one of the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions would be, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِمَهُ وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِ يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِيكَ, which is such a beautiful dua. Actually, it's narrated that a Bedouin made the dua, a villager was making dua, and the Prophet heard it and said, that is a beautiful dua. Like the Prophet heard it, and I was like, that is amazing. What did he say? Oh Allah, اِجْعَلْ خَيْرَ عُمْرِي آخِرَهُ. Make the last portion of my life the best portion of my life. Why? Because even if we messed up in the beginning, allow the end to be beautiful. Even if we struggled, oh Allah, allow us to end with beauty. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِمَهُ. And allow the last deed I perform to be the best deed of my life. You know, oftentimes we think about the scary moment of death coming suddenly. And we ask the question of, what will we be engaged in when death approaches us? If I'm driving and death comes to me while I'm driving, what am I doing while I'm driving? Right? What am I listening to while I'm driving? What am I watching as I'm hanging out? or chilling? What am I doing? What if death comes to me in those moments? What happens? So, oh Allah, make the last deed I perform be the best deed of my life. وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِ يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِيكَ. In the best day, oh Allah, allow it to be the day that I meet you and I'm reunited with you. So when Imam Ghazali talks about, oh Allah, allow us to have a beautiful ending with happiness, Imam Ghazali is referring to this beautiful dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says, وَحَقِّقْ بِزْزِيَادَةِ أَعْمَالَنَا. He says, and make our hopes abundantly real. Because we have a lot of hopes and desires in this world. And then we have a lot of hopes and desires of the Akhirah. Like we hope that we can be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. We hope that we can be reunited with our loved ones in paradise. We hope we can be successful here. We hope we can be successful there. Oh Allah, whatever our hopes and our desires are, allow them to come into reality and fruition, right? Now it's important when we say this dua is, oh Allah, allow whatever permissible desires we have to be honored and fulfilled. Because a lot of us have hopes, but those hopes are not in line with the Quran and Sunnah. And so when we make this dua, we're almost making dua, oh Allah, although I have certain hopes, I just need you not to fulfill the hopes of mine that are not in line with your beautiful tradition. Because if those things come true, then I've put myself in more difficulty and challenge. So, oh Allah, allow all of my hopes and all of these desires that I have to be a reality for me. وَأَقْرِنْ بِالْعَافِيَةِ غُدُوَّنَا وَأَصَالَنَا. And he says, oh Allah, allow our morning and evenings to be spent in afiyah. Allow our day, when we wake up and we go to sleep, every day, allow it to be spent in afiyah. You guys know what afiyah is? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to the companions, salillahil afiyah, ask Allah for afiyah. Ask Allah for ease. Ask Allah not to make things difficult for you. You know, there was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who actually asked for difficulties. Like, oh Allah, let me go through difficulties so my sins can be forgiven. Because we're taught in our tradition that even a prick of a thorn leads to forgiveness and elevation. So a companion is saying, oh Allah, just let me feel all the pain in this world so I can be forgiven in the hereafter. And the Prophet said, no, that's not the spirit of our religion. If you're tested, then you're required to be patient, but you don't ask for the test. You don't ask Allah to put you through difficulty. You ask Allah for ease. You ask Allah for afiyah. So, oh Allah, allow our mornings and our evenings to be spent with afiyah. We wake up in the morning and one of the things that we start our day with is a dua. What do we recite? Oh Allah, we thank you for this blessing. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. We wake up in the morning showing gratitude to Allah for the opportunity for another day, for another chance, for afiyah. You know, in the midst of so much tragedy that we see, there's actually a very powerful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi, mu'afan fi jasadihi, wa indahu qutu yawmihi ka'annama hizat lahu ad-dunya." The Prophet says, the one who wakes up in the morning, like, well, healthy, and in safety, and they have enough food for the day, the Prophet says it's as if they have the entire dunya. It's as if they have everything that they need. Waking up healthy, waking up in safety, and having enough food for the day, the Prophet says, this, my friends, is everything that you need. So asking Allah for that afiyah, asking Allah, so Imam Ghazali is wanting us to think, and when we make dua, to think about how to make dua. Often, you know, Saad Safi, we struggle with this idea of what do I ask for? I know you're going for Umrah, and one of the conversations we often have with our group when we go for Umrah is, please do not wing your duas. Prepare your duas. Like, you're going for Umrah, I don't want you to say, like, I'm going to, like, whatever comes to my mind, I'm going to make. No, actually sit down and think about what it is that you want to ask Allah. Right? Be very intentional about every word you choose. I can guarantee you, when we have to give a speech in front of the entire school at graduation, or when we have to, you know, speak in front of dignitaries, what are we gonna? We're gonna be very careful of every word we choose after we put it through ChatGPT a few times, right? So,
I don't know what you're talking about, actually. Huh? I don't know what you're talking about, actually.
But we're going to be very careful and mindful of every word we choose. Why? Because we want to sound eloquent. We want to sound respectful. We want to sound honorable. Here we're standing and sitting and bowing in front of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Come prepared when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to wrap up soon. I'm going to go through this really quickly, actually.
Very good, alhamdulillah.
So then he says, وَاجْعَلْ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَتِكَ مَصِيرَنَا وَمَآلَنَا. So he says, oh Allah, and entrust our destiny and future state to your mercy. Oh Allah, allow everything that we experience, our future, and everything that is written for us, allow it to be filled with your mercy. Allow your mercy to guide it. Allow your mercy to be a part of it. Oh Allah, allow us not to experience anything in the future that will be harmful to us. So part of it, part of dua is asking Allah not only for the present, but asking for the future. Mm. Oftentimes we're so stuck in the present that we forget to ask Allah about tomorrow. Mm. Oh Allah, I want this today. Oh Allah, I want this now. Oh Allah, I need this now. And we forget that today's going to pass and you're going to realize how yesterday was so insignificant and how we wish we actually prepared for tomorrow. Oftentimes we look back and we say, man, I wish I prepared a little better for tomorrow, for next year, for the next phase of my life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, think about making dua for your future, not just your present. And this we learn from the beautiful dua of the prophets, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he made dua for his dhurriya, he made dua for all of his progeny. Oh Allah, not just me and my kids, but oh Allah, my entire progeny. Allow them to be people of faith. His vision for his community. How many of us, when making dua, we think about our progeny? Some of us are like, yeah, I'm not even married yet. You're talking about my kids and my progeny? I'm not even there. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking about this. He's making dua about this. Even though he doesn't know how long or how far his progeny is going to go. And then you have from his progeny, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a powerful dua. His dua leads to having the best of humanity being from his progeny. So make dua for the future. And then he says, wasbub sijala afwika ala dhunubina. And he says, oh Allah, pour the vessel of your forgiveness over our sins. Mm. Oh Allah, your forgiveness is more amazing than our sins. Your forgiveness is more amazing than our sins. And we learn this theme through the beautiful sunnah and the lives of the prophets when they would say, oh Allah, and when we learn from the Prophet ﷺ that when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sins that reach the heavens and reach the skies, then know, in that moment, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is far greater than that. That Allah can forgive you wala ubadi, and there's absolutely no burden on Allah. It's simple. He could do it in a moment. And it's not difficult for him, nor is it something he finds hard to do. Why? Because he loves forgiveness. One of the statements written on the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi. It's actually written, this is the one rule that Allah has. Allah is not bound by any rules, but there's one rule that he holds himself accountable to, and that is that verily my mercy will always overpower my anger and my wrath. So oh Allah, we ask you to allow your forgiveness to cover our sins. Oh Allah, if you will not forgive us, then where do we turn? Oh Allah, we know that you are the only one that is Ghafoor and that is Rahim. And then he goes on. And there's a lot that can be said about every single one of these statements, by the way. But I want you to think about how you want to seek forgiveness from Allah and what words you want to choose to ask Allah for forgiveness. Because you can use these words, but I promise you the words that you choose and you prepare to use and you think about as you're making dua to Allah will be more effective for your dua. And then he goes on, وَمُنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِإِصْلَاحِ عُيُوبَنَا. And O Allah, grant us correction of our faults. Now, don't only forgive us, because forgiveness isn't enough. What happens when we seek forgiveness, but then like we just continue the sin? So, O Allah, not only allow us to be forgiven, but allow us to then go further and get rid of those sins. Get rid of those faults. Get rid of those evils. Now, despite this beautiful dua, we learn from the Prophet ﷺ a reality that all of us are facing. And that is, we seek forgiveness, but we engage in the sin again. Right? You guys agree with that? Inshallah. You guys are all good people, mashallah. That's, I'm referring to myself. You make istighfar, but then you engage in the sin again. So there's a beautiful tradition where Allah says to the angels that this person sought forgiveness from me and then committed the sin and then sought forgiveness from me again, went back to the sin over and over again. And then Allah will say to the angels, I make you a witness, I have forgiven them, and after today, no matter what they do, they will be forgiven. So the angels are like, what? What's going on here? And the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this claim and this statement is that he knows that his servant understands that no one can forgive him or her except Allah. And no matter how many times they fall and how many times they make a mistake, they're going to get right back up, seek forgiveness, and continue marching forward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person who returns to him over and over and over again. So, O Allah, cover our sins. وَجَعَلِ التَّقْوَى زَادَنَا. O Allah, make taqwa our provision. You know, in the discussion of Hajj in the Quran, Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Allah says, be people that take on taqwa as provision. Why? Because it is the best of provision. When you have nothing else, when taqwa is with you, you have everything that you need to allow you to succeed in this life and the hereafter. And then he says, وَفِي دِينِكَ اِجْتِهَادِنَا. And O Allah, allow us to really work hard with our deen. Allow us to really give our deen and our religion time. Allow us to focus on becoming a better person. And in this statement, by the way, we should start asking everything that we need to. Make me better, make me more punctual in my salah. Make me more connected to my dua. Allow me to be more fluent in my recitation of the Quran. Allow me to wake up for tahajjud. Oh Allah, just, you want to go ahead and say, allow the effort that I make be for the dunya. There's a beautiful dua of the Prophet that's connected to this idea, which is, Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina wa la mablagh ilmina. Right? That, oh Allah, don't make the dunya my greatest concern. If the dunya becomes my greatest concern, what does that mean? It means that the deen becomes a smaller concern. And here Imam Ghazali is saying, make dua to Allah that the dunya, that the greatest effort that you make is for the religion and is for the tradition. وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكُّلَنَا وَاِعْتِمَادِنَا. And oh Allah, our trust and our confidence is in you. We ask that you allow us to trust you with every step we take. You know, they say, trust the process. Mm. Oh Allah, allow us to trust the process. We leave our tawakkul in you, and whatever happens, oh Allah, we know that you're with us and you're guiding us through it. So this is that first passage. I know I'm in a little over. Inshallah, Imam Safi can share that next.
No, inshallah. No, I actually wanted him to continue, but he was cooking on high heat, as they say. So inshallah, I'm gonna continue on and just kind of quickly go through the middle passage. I'm gonna let inshallah Sheikh Noman finish us off with the ending, which is an incredibly beautiful dua. So in the beginning, in the middle, Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he actually says, Allahumma thabitna ala nahj al-istiqamati. He says, O Allah, set us on the path of istiqama. How do you translate istiqama, guys? Anybody? What is istiqama? Yeah, very good. Sticking to something, right? Being consistent with something. So subhanAllah, it's not enough. Sometimes we ask ourselves, like, I want the ability to be steadfast on what I do. But again, I implore, I ask, do you really want it badly if you don't ask Allah for it? Right? Like, everybody wants to be patient. Everybody wants to be pious. Everybody wants to be generous. Everybody wants to be kind and courteous. But you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. It's not just something that you feel that you can create yourself. I can't find my own generosity within myself. And this is why, by the way, modern day, sometimes like the language we find in modern day jargon, it's very, very harmful. Why? Because people are made to believe that like you intrinsically just have these things, right? No, you're kind, you're courageous, you're steadfast deep down. No, even if that may be true, even if you may have that kind of like fitra-y reality, everybody, by the way, alhamdulillah, Allah has created everybody with goodness within themselves. Yes? But it is not enough just to know that it lays dormant within you. You have to really ask for it. It's like when a person asks for help, right? Is there possibly somebody that can walk by you and see that you're in a time of need and you need help and they can kind of just like find it in themselves to help you? Sure. But what's the better manner? The better manner is I ask for the help, right? Anybody ever been lost before? In like a grocery store or like a store or whatever it may be? And you're like, yeah, I can just walk around IKEA for the next 2.5 hours. There's no problem, right? But then the person who's humble, they're down to earth, they find it within themselves to find that weird striped yellow and black shirt and they're like, hey, where are your spoons? Can you find it amongst all of your couches? Right? And like, so you, subhanAllah, the person who's humble, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, right? Istiqamati. And then it says, the Imam Ghazali's dua that he gets from the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَعَائِذْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ مُوجِبَاتِ النَّدَامَةِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, and protect us in the world from causes of regret in the day of judgment. How many people, subhanAllah, raise of hands, how many people have regrets in their life? Raise of hands. Now I know who the liars are. I'm just kidding. So, subhanAllah, there should not be one person in this entire hall that has their hand down. I have regrets. Qari Noman has regrets. Ustad Abdul Rahman, when he teaches Heartwork on Monday nights, every human being has regrets in their life, right? The difference is some regrets are crippling and we never learn from them. And some regrets, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to learn from them. What is the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said that a believer is not bitten from the same hole twice. Why is that hadith so powerful? Because it teaches you that although that first moment you got bit, yes, it's a regretful moment, but only is it regretful if the second time you don't learn from it, right? So every mistake you made, and Qari Noman reflected on the idea of mistakes, of dhunub, of sins. But sins are there, and subhanAllah, we got a powerful question. I believe it was last time or maybe the past Saturday Q&A. How do I reconcile the idea of sins when I sometimes learn from them, right? Like the mistake that I made, maybe I missed so many salawat in my life now in order to appreciate it. Now, for me personally, I think two truths can exist at the same time. You can regret something, but still actually learn from that regret in your life, right? I can regret the fact that I missed so many beautiful moments of my life, but I can also take that moment of regret and learn from it as well. I can appreciate my salat that much more, right? So that part of the dua is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from protecting you from in the world from causes of regret on the day of judgment. And the regret on the day of judgment will only be the regret that you never actually learned from. If you learn from a regret in your life, then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed, like Qari Noman mentioned, that your ending was something that was good. You learn from that, even that moment of weakness, okay? But the type of regrets that he's talking about here is a type of regret that you never come to terms with. You never reflect on it. And this is why, by the way, subhanAllah, I want to share a personal piece of brotherly advice. Don't run away from your mistakes. Don't run away from your problems. Y'all know the whole like flight or fight, like psychology thing? Where certain people, when they see like a conflict in front of them, they just run, they flee. As Muslims, we don't flee like that. Even if it's something that's difficult for us to own up to, we actually address it head on. That maybe there's some sort of khayr from it, right? And so then Imam Ghazali, he continues and he says, وَخَفِّفْ عَنَّا ثِقْلَ أَوْزَارِ. He says, and lighten the weight of our sins. SubhanAllah, does he say nullify our sins? He says, وَخَفِّفْ, make it light. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes like when you go to a friend and you're like, yeah, I messed up real bad. And the friend's like, what did you do? And you're like, I did this and this and this and this, right? Some of you guys have friends where, like, even if they murder somebody, they'd be like, yeah, not a big deal. But subhanAllah, think about going to a friend and telling them you did some crazy stuff. And the friend saying, oh, you know what? It's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Wallahi al-azim, guys, this is the type of response you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, do not take us to account. Give us an easy accounting. Don't nitpick at every small thing that I've done. Khaffif, lighten the burden from us. The sins will be heavy. But subhanAllah, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, right? That even the mountains on that day, كَلْعِحْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, they will be like cotton. So if Allah has the ability to turn mountains into cotton, what do you think that your sins will look like in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He wants to forgive them? So ask Allah for the lightening of your sins. And then He says, وَأَرْزُقْنَا عِيشَةَ الْأَبْرَارِ. He says, and endow us with the way of life that is befitting of you, Ya Allah. Make everything that I do in my life pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Do not allow the way that I spend my days to be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with your days, to be pleased with the way that you spend your money, to be pleased with the way that you go to class, to be pleased with your social hangouts. I mean, guys, subhanAllah, think about this. Sometimes we trivialize a lot of the circumstances in our lives and we say, oh yeah, it was just a hangout with a friend. It was 2 hours at, like, you know, the spot, share tea or your gongcha or whatever it is, right? Not a big deal. But what if those 2 hours were extremely pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what about the opposite? What if those 2 hours were 2 hours in which you sat and you backbit? And you talked about people in a way that was displeasing to Allah. So never make too light something that could be heavy. Okay? Every moment is a chance to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He says something very powerful. He says, وَأَكْفِنَا وَأَصْرِفْ عَنَّا شَرَّ الْأَشْرَارِ. He says, and restrain us from and avert from us the evil of the wicked. Again, Allah does not say that there will not be evil. Evil will be there. Evil will exist. How many people in here, subhanAllah, have ever had conversations with people who may not believe in any sort of religion, and they're like, well, if there is a God, why is there evil in the world? Y'all ever heard that before? Yeah, if there is a God, then why is there people that rob and murder and pillage? Why are there people that do so many evil things in the dunya? As a believer, you never believe that there is not evil in the dunya. The evil is what makes the dunya the dunya. If there was no evil in this dunya, you'd already be in Jannah. You'd already be there. You already made it. But a part of the dunya is to accept that evil exists. But what is the dua? The dua is wa akfina wa asrif anna shar al ashrar. The dua is, oh Allah, restrain us and avert us. Never allow me to be a part of that evil. Never allow me to be the thing that I hated. Y'all ever heard that phrase before? Never allow me to be what I hate. So when you look at Gaza, you look at Palestine, you look at the oppressors over there, never become the oppressor in your own life. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Think about the same people who make dua to free the people of Palestine are sometimes the same people that are oppressing people in their own families. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ask Allah to protect you from ever being something that you actually see that is wrong around you. The final part of this dua is extremely powerful. He says here, وَأَعْطِكْ رِقَابِنَا وَرِقَابَ الْأَبَانَ أَبَاءَنَا وَأُمَّتِنَا وَإِخْوَانِنَا وَأَخْوَاتِنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. He then asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, free and release our necks and the necks of our fathers, our mothers, our brothers and sisters from hellfire. Can I share one thing really with you guys before I turn it over to Qari Numan? This part of the dua is a reminder to you and me to make dua for your family. Make dua for your family. Sometimes, you know, subhanAllah, we think to ourselves, where would we be if it wasn't for that one dua of my mom? And I'll tell you something, your mother has made more dua for you than you can ever make up. She has spent hours making dua for you over her own self. Spend a little bit of time making dua for your family members. And at the end, he says, بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا عَزِيزْ يَا غَفَّارْ. Only by your mercy, Ya Aziz Ya Ghaffar. Only by your mercy, Ya Allah, you are the greatest and you are Al-Ghaffar. You are the one who forgives. And then he says, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar. He says, oh, the one who is the most noble, Ya Sattar. Ya Sattar is actually very beautiful because Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, what he's talking about here, Ya Sattar, is the one who actually hides your sins. So after you kind of vent to Allah about how many sins you have, and like Qari Noman mentioned, the idea of correcting ourselves from those sins, you're calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Sattar, the one who hides the sins. It's like confessing to your friend that you did something, and then you tell your friend, hey, please keep this between me and you. You know that level of trust that you have with that person? When you say, hey, this is between me and you. Some of you guys have been burned, by the way, I can tell on your faces. But when you tell somebody, hey, keep this between me and you, when you tell that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there any doubt in your mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor you? Subhanallah. Allah is the one who wants to conceal your sins. We are the ones who actually expose each other's sins, unfortunately. A'udhu billah. We talk to other people, hey, did you hear what they did? Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what he did? Allah is the one that tries to conceal it from people, right? So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Ya Alim, Ya Jabbar. He says, oh, all-knowing, and Ya Jabbar, the one who is capable of all things, right? And so again, you notice how this dua finishes with a beautiful kind of call out to all of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know when you go to your parents or if you go to a friend and you're like, hey, like, you're so beautiful today. Just so nice, mashallah, right? Like every time I talk to you, I feel nice and warm. Like, what are you doing at that moment? You are talking to that person, why? Because you are telling them the things that you love about them. So when you speak to Allah, the lesson at the end of this dua is, never speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely from what you want. Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why you love Him. Ya Rahmatika, Ya Arhamur Rahimin, Ya Aziz, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Jabbar, Ya Sattar, Ya Alim. All of these are our sifat, the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He lives up to. Okay? So involve those in your du'as. Inshallah, Qari Sahib, you want to finish up with the last one?
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair and beautiful reflections, As-Safi. You know, as we say the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our du'as, we're taught to use the names that are connected to the specific need that we have. So if we're asking Allah to cover us and not expose our sins because of, you know, the darkness around the evil that we've committed, oh Allah, Ya Sattar, forgive and cover our sins. Mm-hmm. So use the name that is relevant to the ask that you have. And then he ends the last concluding lines of the text. He says, Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. It's like at the end of making after all the dua, you're just like, Ya Allah, it's just, I'm here and I need you. Almost with a sense of desperation. That if you don't accept this, then there is nowhere that we can go. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. The beautiful name of Allah, the most beautiful name of Allah is Allah. There is nothing that you can use that's more powerful than that unique name of Allah. So make a habit of saying that name often. He says, Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Almost by your mercy, O Allah. We ask you by your mercy. We seek from you by your mercy. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, the most merciful of those who show mercy. Allah is the one who shows the most mercy. Wa ya awwal al-awwaleen. And the first of all those who came. Allah is the first with no one that came before Him. Wa ya akhir al-akhirin. And the last of all. Allah will be the end. No one will be after Him. On the last day, what will Allah command? For the trumpet to be blown and for everything to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. On that day when everything has perished, He will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Who does all of what you own in the world belong to today? Where is it all? Allah will ask this question when nobody is around. لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. And then Allah will respond Himself as a reality that all of this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Ya dhal quwwatil mateen. And O Allah, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who has the most power. O Allah, who is the Lord of power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has might. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can forgive us and who can change the course of our lives. وَيَا أَرْحَمَ الْمَسَاكِينَ, and the one who shows the most mercy to those who are struggling, to those who are homeless, to those who are poor. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has most mercy on, the needy. Who else shows mercy upon the needy? Now you're thinking that, wait, the needy don't have anything. It doesn't really seem like Allah is being merciful upon them. But no, Allah is the one that shows them the most mercy. The reality is that we've neglected the needy, and we've forgotten the needy, and we've turned our backs on the needy. When everyone else has forgotten the poor and the weak and the downtrodden, Allah is with those people. That is why the Prophet says to us that you will find me with those people. You will find me in their presence. And then he says, وَيَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحِمِينَ, and O the most merciful of those who show mercy, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He then brings the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, the famous dua of Yunus when he was swallowed by the whale. And Yunus alayhi salam repeated over and over and over again this dua, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. O Allah, there is no deity, there is no God except you. Subhanak, glory be to you. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I've wronged myself. I've oppressed myself. This dua here, this dua of Yunus, is a dua that I encourage everybody to recite regularly. Anybody who comes to me and says, I need a dua for some challenges that I'm experiencing, I say recite the dua of Yunus. Because it truly is a dua that opens doors for a person. And then he concludes, وَصَلَّى عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his salutations, and may Allah bless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions. And then he says, وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. He started the book with Alhamdulillah. And he ends and he concludes his book now and this letter with Alhamdulillah. Because for all of us, we start with the praise of Allah and we end with the praise of Allah. When we make dua, this is actually one of the etiquettes, that we start with the praise of Allah, we move to sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when we're wrapping up our dua, we conclude with salawat upon the Prophet, and then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that he has. And with that, we conclude this beautiful text. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allows it to be a source of forgiveness for us.
Ameen.
Allow it to be a source of acceptance on behalf of its teacher.
Ameen.
And all of the students that have been benefiting. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to implement all the beautiful advice that has been shared by Imam Ghazali.
Ameen.
Allow us to truly connect to Allah at a spiritual level. Ameen. May Allah guide us and protect us. Allow us to achieve all that which we hope to accomplish in this life. Ameen. And allow us to work towards greater success of the hereafter. May Allah protect us from harm and evil. May Allah protect us from loss. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us with our loved ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to strengthen the ties of kinship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our health and our wealth. May Allah forgive our loved ones who have passed on. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for any shortcomings in the study of this book. And may Allah accept the good of it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue with our growth and our learning, and allow us to be consistent in attending all of these beautiful gatherings of remembrance. O Allah, we ask you to bless us with all the beautiful things that the Prophet ﷺ would ask for.
Amen.
And protect us from all the evil that the Prophet ﷺ would seek protection from. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Wasat safi. Jazakallahu khairan for teaching us. Give a takbir for Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah.
For Wasat safi. Give a round of applause for him as well.
No. Alhamdulillah. This is... I literally just went through Imam Ghazali's text with you guys. So, alhamdulillah, it was nothing for me. We were literally rereading line by line, alhamdulillah. Qari Noman, mashallah, jazakallah khair for joining us tonight, alhamdulillah. We are going to be concluding Soul Food for the Year tonight, inshallah, because In 2 days, I'm leaving for the holy city of Medina, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to keep all of you guys in my du'as, inshallah. Wallahi, I remember you guys very, very vividly in my mind. Even if I don't know your name, I know your face. So even when I'm at the Kaaba, I'm going to be making du'a that, oh Allah, bless the person that was wearing this that night and look like this that night. So inshallah, it's going to be something that is going to be very close to me as I travel to the holy cities, inshallah. So we're going to take a break, inshallah. Next week, we're not going to have soul food. We're going to kick back up, inshallah, the Thursday after, okay? So it's going to be, I believe, around New Year's. Like, I think it's like January 1st or 2nd. I believe it's the 2nd. So inshallah, we're going to be picking back up on the 2nd. And the next series is actually going to be profound du'as from the Prophet ﷺ and the other prophets leading up to Ramadan. Because Ramadan will be in 2 months after we get back. So the next series is going to be the du'as of the prophets, inshallah, and how they can lead us into the holy month of Ramadan. So this was just a little bit of a teaser trailer, mashallah, that Qari Numan didn't even know he was a part of. So now he knows, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, make du'a for Sheikh Numan and his family. Make du'a for each other. And alhamdulillah, jazakum khairan everybody for being a part of this, inshallah. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks, inshallah. All right? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Salatul Isha is going to be in about 2 minutes over on the Qalam Masjid side. So inshallah, I encourage everyone to go over and pray Salah in congregation. JazakAllah khairan, guys. Assalamu alaikum.